Welcome to Soulful Insights, where we heal trauma and anxiety at the root, reconnect with our inner wisdom, and reclaim our power through spiritual sovereignty. I'm your host, Tandy, and I'm really glad you're here today. So, fair warning before we get started, this is going to be a two-part series, and so this will maybe a little bit longer, and then next week we will follow up with the rest of this one. The topic today is recognizing red flags in relationships, and it's really, really important. I don't want to skip any of the important things about this because I think it's really important for women to understand how to set themselves up for success in relationships, but also what to do when you find yourself in a toxic relationship and how to manage that in whatever way works best for you. So, this episode definitely hits close to home for many women. And talking about why you keep attracting the same toxic or emotionally unavailable partners and how to break that cycle for good. So if you've ever asked yourself, why do I keep choosing people who hurt me? Why do I keep choosing partners that are emotionally unavailable or who don't treat me very well or who maybe not even be loyal or faithful? And if that's a question that you've asked yourself, you're in the right place. And also, if you are in a relationship, if you have been married or are in a relationship and you've been in that relationship for 5 years, 10 years, even 20 years, and you're recognizing that this relationship is unhealthy, that it has caused a lot of emotional harm to you, this is the right place for you. Because it is never too late for you to cultivate yourself, your inner world, so that you can then attract your soulmate, that partner that is going to love you in the way that you deserve. So let's dive in. We're going to talk about red flags, okay? And I'm going to start with a truth bomb. Red flags are not just bad behavior. They are warnings from your nervous system, your intuition, and your soul trying to get your attention that something isn't right. And you need to listen to that. I have had this in my own life at different times. And when I've ignored it, it's definitely got me into trouble. And there have been times where I've acted on my own intuition where it wouldn't have made any sense, but I acted on it and it was something that absolutely I needed to know or discover. So always, always, always follow your intuition. When you feel like you need to check up on something, do it. Don't question it. Don't feel like, oh, respecting someone's privacy, respecting this or that or the other. Nope. If you have a feeling inside yourself that something isn't right, you follow up on that until you discover what it is. Trust me. So, what are red flags? Red flags are the patterns of behavior that are signaling emotional immaturity, lack of empathy, controlling tendencies, emotional avoidance, or inconsistency. They are the things that make you second guess yourself. They make you feel small, confused, that you may feel anxious in a relationship. You may not feel like you can trust that person because they're inconsistent or seem to be hiding things, whatever. Okay. So I want to give some common examples. Number one, this is a red flag. If your partner is dismissing your feelings or minimizing your pain, this is not okay under any circumstances and will cause emotional damage to you, emotional harm to you. So if they're telling you you're being too sensitive, it's not that big of a deal. Why are you still upset about that? I already said I was sorry. You always make everything about you. Anytime they're dismissing your feelings, it wasn't that big of a deal. Anytime they are not willing to hear you and see you wherever you are, this is not okay. This is not okay. It doesn't matter if they don't think it was a big deal. What matters is that you do. And a lot of times when we are hurt by something, we seek information. Women will do this very often. We will seek information to determine if we are safe now. So if you've been hurt in a relationship and you're asking questions and wanting more details about what happened and why it happened, you are not crazy. the reason that your brain is doing that is because your brain is assessing the situation and saying, am I safe in this relationship or am I at risk that this is going to happen again? And a partner who truly cares and is truly sorry and truly wants to have a deep relationship with you will give you as many answers as you need until you feel safe. And if it takes a year or 2 years or however long that takes, giving you that information, that reassurance, and all of the information that you need so that your nervous system can calm down and so that you feel safe, that's what is needed. And they need to respect that time frame and those questions are unique to you. If that's not something they're willing to give you, not really a relationship that is ever going to be happy for you. So you need to decide what you want to do if this is what you're going to be fed for the rest of your life. Realize if they dismiss your feelings, minimize your pain, and don't ever really care about how you feel and how you experience things, that's going to be your life with this person. They're not going to change. And don't ever be in a relationship expecting that this person's going to change because that's just not how this works. Okay. Do people change? Yes. But staying in a harmful relationship expecting someone to change, not wise, because it is not very common. Number two is gaslighting or making you question the reality of what happened. So in this scenario, this is generally something you will get an emotionally immature person doing, a narcissist, something like that, where they cannot take responsibility or accountability. They literally cannot do it. And so what's going to happen is they'll say, that didn't happen. You're remembering it wrong. I never said that. I would never say something like that. You're always trying to accuse me of stuff I didn't do. Or I was just joking. Why are you taking it so seriously? No, it's not joking. A lot of times they will turn it into that so they don't have to apologize or take accountability. You're imagining things. You always twist my words. I would never say that. I would never do that. Why are you always trying to make me look bad? All of these things trying to make you question your reality. And it's deflecting away from their behavior and what they're doing and making you the problem instead of them. If this is what you are experiencing, if you come and say, that really hurt me when you said that, or you know, I really needed you to be there and you didn't show up or whatever the problem is, and they're making you, they're denying the reality of what you experienced. This is not something that will ever change. I don't care how much therapy you go to. I don't care what you do. This is not going to change. And it's going to make you question your sanity eventually. So this is a massive red flag. If it were me and I was in a situation like this, this is not a relationship that I personally would stay in. It's not worth it. Then we have love bombing and then withdrawing. So this is more something you'll see with avoidant attachment behavior. This can be worked on. It depends on the person and their willingness, but avoidant attachment behavior is pretty ingrained. And if you have an anxious attachment style person with an avoidant, it's a recipe for disaster. Because the anxious attachment makes the avoidant person want to run away even more, and it just causes pain for both of them. So if you're in this situation, either very intense therapy or it's very likely going to be a really unhappy relationship for both of you. So initially, they will send long romantic texts every day. It seems really great in the beginning, and then suddenly they'll go silent for days without an explanation. Or they'll start wanting space, or they'll stop sending such romantic things and they just kind of start to back off. Maybe they'll start telling you you're the one within the first week and they're love bombing you and you're so amazing and I have all these feelings for you. And then they become emotionally distant as the relationship progresses. This is why you need to take time in relationships and take it slow. Because you need to see who this person is on all levels before you jump in with both feet, before you move in together, before you get engaged, before you decide to get married, whatever it is that you decide to do. In fact, I would recommend holding off on getting too intimate for a while. Because once you get really emotionally involved to a level of high levels of intimacy, it gets harder and harder to break that relationship off. And when you get avoidant behavior, a lot of times you're going to end up with people that are unfaithful and a lot of other things you just don't want. So you want to see this before you get too involved. They may give you constant physical affection at first. They may want to move really quickly into intimacy. That's why I'm saying you are better off being mindful about what physical affection and intimacy you give. Because what will happen is they will be like going for it. It'll be physical affection on the first date and it will just continue very, very rapidly. But then they start to pull away as the months go on, and then they start saying they need space anytime you want closeness or you want to spend time together, and it becomes really painful. So be really careful when you're initially in a relationship with someone. It can be really romantic and really intense for 3 months, 6 months, whatever. But you get someone with this avoidant behavior, eventually they're going to pull away, and that loving part that you loved initially, it will never come back. And I just want you to be aware of that. A lot of women constantly wait, like, it was amazing in the beginning. It was so wonderful. And he just doted over me and it was so amazing. And they keep waiting for that. Honey, he's not, it's never going to change. Women and men both will do this when they have an avoidant attachment style. It's not coming back. And this is why you really need to be very mindful about what you're doing and how you're engaging with relationships. It's like, protect yourself. You know what I'm saying? And I always teach women this, and in every regard, that we guard ourselves. I mean, yeah, we're going to have feelings. We are going to want to be intimate. We're going to have those feelings. It doesn't mean we always need to act on them. And sometimes when we do, we get ourselves emotionally involved and we get ourselves into trouble, make relationships a lot more complicated and a lot more difficult because we don't manage ourselves and we don't engage with relationships intentionally. I'm not going to let urges dictate my life. If we did that, it would be a complete mess. Every one of us would be 500 pounds if we let urges just take over. Every time you had an urge for a donut, every time you have an urge to smack someone, every time you have an urge to swear at your boss, we don't give in to those. We are more intentional because we know that we shouldn't behave that way. It's the same with intimacy. The more that you engage consciously and intentionally, the more you're going to be able to find the relationship that you want, rather than getting way physically involved with someone and then realizing, whoa, this is not what I thought. This is definitely advice I would give. But to finish this one off, with someone with an avoidant attachment style, they don't want to tell you where they are. They start wanting to hang out with buddies. They just start really, or friends, they start backing off. It's not going to change. It'll be that way till the day you die. And if that's not what you want, this is not the relationship for you. They may disrespect boundaries. This is another really big red flag. They keep calling or texting you. So let's say you go on a date or two with someone and they are just constantly texting, constantly calling, wanting to know what you're doing. It's like, we've only been on a couple of dates. You don't owe that person anything at this point, right? And you're just like, hey, whoa, you know, I need some space. This is a huge red flag that this person is controlling, that this person has some issues. They may push for intimacy after you've expressed that you're not ready or you don't want to. And this is the thing with women that they don't understand, is a healthy man, let's say you've been dating, I don't know how long, you're at your apartment and you're kissing, you know, some stuff is going on, and you're like, and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, like I don't want to go any farther than this, and they pressure you. That is a red flag. And I know people personally who have ended up marrying someone who did this to them and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. And what you don't realize is, if a man does not have control over his desire and over himself in that area, he's not going to have control over it when you're married. And do you know what that means? That means he's not going to be faithful to you. That's the reality. And I don't care what relationship, okay? This goes both ways. Women can do this as well. I just want to be clear that I'm kind of speaking from my own side of things. And so sometimes I will say men, but yes, women can do this as well. You can have a woman that's pushing for intimacy and you're saying no. It doesn't matter who your partner is, who you are dating. If they are pushing for something that you aren't comfortable with, leave immediately. Do not engage with that relationship anymore, because it is just going to end in heartbreak. And the individual that I know of that experienced this from a man that she was dating and ended up marrying him, he was not faithful, and that's what you're going to find. So that is an absolute no. Also, sharing private details about you or your relationship with others. So this is really important, especially if you ask them not to share details with someone. But also, there's just common decency that you don't share intimate details about your relationship or private things about someone. If they are doing that, they're not respecting you. And they may end up using private details about you if you ever break off the relationship. So if there are photos that have been shared or intimate details about yourself that have been shared in a relationship and you end up breaking it off, those photos may end up online. I just want you to realize that if this person has been in this type of behavior of trying to control you, manipulate you, disrespecting your boundaries, this is why I always warn women, when you are dating someone, don't send photos. If you don't want them to end up online, don't do it. Because this happens all too often. I've heard so many stories of this happening, and women even losing jobs and other things because of photos like this being put up online, because they dated a guy and he ended up being not a great person. They break it off, and the next thing you know, there it has actually even been done where it's been put on someone's Facebook account so their friends and family see things. You need to respect yourself and guard yourself in the ways that you want, because when you are engaging in relationships, you don't know this person, especially if you've been dating or in a relationship with this person for less than at least a year, maybe more. And I wish more women really guarded themselves and their respect, the respect of themselves. So then we move into dishonesty in relationships. So they're lying about where they were or who they were with. You catch them in lies. They hide messages, delete texts. And a lot of times when you discover something like, hey, like, why are you texting your ex-girlfriend, or why are you messaging this woman, or whatever it is that you find, I just didn't tell you because I knew you'd get upset about it and I knew you'd make a big deal about it. And it's not a big deal and we're just friends and all of that, as if that justifies the lie, which it does not. But here's the thing. It takes the blame off of them, makes them the victim, and you're the problem. So what's happening is, instead of the focus being on you should not be engaging in this behavior, texting this person or whatever it is that they were doing that you found, now they're making you the problem. I knew you'd get upset. I knew that you just, you know. And this is where you need to stand in your ground and be strong enough to be like, no, this is not my problem. So when you start seeing that, especially if they don't want you touching their phone or they're afraid of you seeing their social media accounts or things like that, they're hiding something. And a lot of women will allow men to make excuses for this stuff and say, talk about privacy. We're going to talk more in depth about this later on. I'm sorry, but if they keep throwing out privacy, it ain't privacy. I want to be very clear with you. It is not privacy. They don't care about privacy. They are hiding things from you that they don't want you to know. If he's not an open book, or if your partner is not an open book with you, they're hiding stuff. And you need to decide if that's something that you're willing to accept or not in a relationship. And the next one is ignoring your needs. So anytime you're asking for something, you want more quality time with them. They've been, you know, out with friends or really busy at work, or they've been on a business trip or whatever it is. And you're like, yeah, I just would really like to be able to spend some time with you. And they start saying that you're needy or you're clingy or that type of a thing. They don't care about you. They care about themselves. Huge red flag. If you express that you need more communication, that you want to talk to them, you want more connection in that way, and they're rolling their eyes, they're ignoring you, or they just say, I'm just not like that, I'm not super talkative. The problem is it doesn't matter what they are like. It matters that you have a need. And if they love you and care about you truly, then they will care about your needs. Or if you're asking for support during a hard time and they're responding with, I don't know what you want me to do. Whatever it might be. Again, huge red flags, because this is showing they are more concerned about themselves than you. That's not what you want in a relationship. And the next one is expect you to carry the emotional load of the relationship. So if they're venting about their problems constantly but never asking how you're doing, you're always the one initiating the emotional check-ins or resolving conflict. So like, how are you doing? If they're just going about their day doing things and they're never concerned about how you're feeling or how your day was, it's just showing that they're not mindful of you. They really aren't thinking about you and caring about you in their heart. That's important. And also, if you're the one that's always resolving conflicts by letting go and just like, okay, I'll stop talking about it, I'll stop asking. If you're the one that has to back off so that conflicts are resolved, big problem, because you are carrying a very heavy emotional load and they are not willing to work with you. If they shut down anytime a deep or vulnerable conversation comes up, that is also a huge red flag. This is not an emotionally mature person, and you're going to end up being isolated, alone, and managing all the hard times. We all go through hard times in life, whether someone gets fired from a job or, you know, a family member passes away. There's so many things in life that can go on. And if you have someone that shuts down and shuts you out every time things get hard, you might as well live alone, because you're going to feel like it. And the other one that's a huge red flag, and this is usually men, by the way, that do this, and they tell you they're tough and they just don't have emotions and they just don't deal in emotions. My dad does this. He always says, I don't deal in emotions, I deal in logic. This tough, rough and tumble guy kind of attitude. Yeah, well, my dad almost exclusively deals in emotions and beat the hell out of me as a kid and yelled and screamed and could not manage his own emotions. But at the end of the day, basically what this man is telling you is he is emotionally immature and he's uncomfortable with emotions and facing himself. So a lot of what this means is he had to shut down as a child because he was told to toughen up and don't act like a girl and don't be a sissy. And he was told all these things. And he thinks, so all of the hurt that he as a little boy felt was never shown. It was shut down. He has emotions, let's be real. But when it comes right down to it, he can't see himself and his own emotions. He is not going to see yours. He's not going to be there for you. And that's what he's telling you. When he tries to say he's tough and he doesn't have emotions, he's literally saying, I don't care about yours. I'm not going to be there for you. I'm not going to hold space for you. And that is part of what masculine energy does, is hold the line and be steady for the female energy. And unfortunately, a lot of men have been raised in extremely toxic ways, which makes them very poor partners. So when he tells you this, I just want you to know you will carry all of the emotional load of life all by yourself. And when you cry and you struggle, let's say you lost a loved one, it was devastating and you're crying, he ain't showing up for you. He's going to walk out the door and be like, I'm not dealing with this. And if that's not what you want, this is not the relationship for you. This is a very, very unhealthy man that has to act like he's tough and can't handle your emotions. That's part of what that masculine and feminine energy flow is. So let's move into the next one. He expects you to carry the entire load of household labor. So he leaves dishes everywhere and says it's your job to clean the house. It's a woman's job to clean. Expects you to plan and prepare all the meals, do the laundry, without offering to participate in any of the household labor at all. He takes his shoes off in the middle of the floor. He throws his towel after getting out of the shower on the floor. He doesn't even act like a grown adult and just expects you to do it. And the reason that I'm saying he is because this is generally the patriarchal structure. Generally, if we have two women, generally it is not the women that are expecting one of them to do all the household labor. It's just not that common in that dynamic. So I am speaking to men in this because they believe that they just go to work every day and the woman does everything else. When you ask him to pitch in, he responds, okay, fine. He may just say, that's your job. He may say, well, you never tell me what to do. But he may never take initiative. He may never see that dishes need to be done, or he may never actually put his towel in the laundry or put his dishes in the dishwasher. You are not his mother. He's a grown-ass adult, and he should be able to do this himself. You shouldn't. He's not a child. It's like, I'm not asking you to do chores. You live in this household. We are both adults. We both manage this household together. If he expects you to carry the entire load of that and pick up after him, huge red flag. If he expects you to be like his mother, picking up after him, cooking, doing his laundry, and not taking adult responsibility, massive red flag. Because it is showing he does not see you as an equal. He sees you as a servant, and he will treat you as such, which also means the likelihood that he will not be as faithful to you as you probably want him to be. A man that doesn't respect you as an equal partner in life is not going to respect you enough to be faithful if he doesn't feel like it. 100%. So just be mindful of this. It's not just about you having to cook and clean up after him and treat him like a 5-year-old child. It's also the fact that he's not going to be mature enough at the end of the day to be a faithful and trustworthy partner. Another issue is disappearing during conflict. Walks out mid-conversation, refuses to talk about things, ignores texts and calls for days after an argument or disagreement, or just ignores you in the home, won't speak to you, pretends like nothing happened, and changes the subject when you bring it up. So it's like, I'm going to ignore you, whether you're living together or however that dynamic goes. I'm giving you the silent treatment. I'm ignoring you. I'm going to walk out the door and not come back for hours, and you don't know where I've been. This is a no. 100% a no. And then they come back and they pretend like nothing happened. A lot of times what happens, if he walks out the door and he's gone for hours, he's probably doing something that you would not approve of. I'm just going to be honest with you. He's going to go. What happens when a conflict occurs and he walks out the door? He's uncomfortable with it. He doesn't like what's going on. He's going to go and buffer those emotions with something. And then he's going to come back and act like nothing happened. You are going to end up in a very painful, very lonely relationship if this is how this kind of thing is handled. You may have playing the victim or getting defensive when you express something. So you may hear things like, I guess I just can't do anything right with you. You're always attacking me. I feel like the bad guy all the time. Wow, I was just trying to help. Okay. Maybe they try to make excuses for why they hurt you. Well, I was feeling like this, or well, I was having a rough time. So they're not apologizing. You want, I am so sorry that that hurt you. It's like excuses. Well, this was the reason. I don't care what the reason is. I'm sorry. That's what needs to happen. Take accountability and say, I'm sorry. That's what a mature person does. If they are making excuses for why they did something, big red flag. Because there is more toxic behavior underneath that. Here's the big kicker with all of these. Most of us see these red flags and we excuse them. We tell ourselves, oh, they had a hard childhood, or they were just really stressed out, or maybe I was just overreacting. Why do you do that? It's because on some level it feels familiar to you. When you grow up in an environment where love was inconsistent, where affection came with strings, your emotional needs were not met, you internalize that version of love as normal. Your nervous system learns to associate unpredictability with normal relationship. Chaos feels like chemistry. Withdrawal feels like a challenge to prove your worth. And your brain keeps trying to protect you, keeps trying recreating what it knows. That's why the red flags don't always feel like a danger to you. Sometimes they feel like home, even when they're hurting you. This is why awareness is so powerful. The moment you recognize that what feels safe, while it might feel familiar, is not healthy. And when you come to this realization, you open the door to something new, something better, something that doesn't require you to shrink in order to be loved. And I want to talk about something that so many women feel but struggle to name, and that's the invisible weight of doing it all. This is another huge red flag. We've talked about this, about a man that expects you to manage all the household labor. But I want to go into this a little bit deeper. When you wake up already thinking of everything, packing kids' lunches, doctor's appointments, the groceries, the laundry, the emotional state of your partner, and somehow none of that seems to land on his plate. He doesn't notice the overflowing trash, the dishes in the sink, the wet towel he left on the floor. And when you bring it up, you're told that you're nagging. But you're not nagging. You're asking for partnership. You are carrying the full physical, emotional, and mental load of the household. The scheduling, the remembering, the fixing, the caretaking. And you may even be working full-time too. But it still all falls on you. Why? Because somewhere along the line, he was taught that this was your role, that love means service to him, that being a, quote, good woman means you do everything quietly. But here's the truth. Love does not leave all the labor on one person's shoulders. I want that to land. A person who truly loves you, honors you, and respects you does not put all of the household labor on your shoulders. Real love shows up, it participates, it notices, and it cares. You deserve a relationship where you're not running on fumes just to keep the wheels turning in the household, where you deserved your needs to be seen. Your contributions are valued and the labor of love is shared. This isn't about dishes, it's about dignity. It's about being met with respect, and you are worthy of that always. So I want to talk a little bit about what I call the sacrificial woman. And the sacrificial woman is what most religious women are taught to be. But unfortunately, in a patriarchal society, which is what we live in, even non-religious people live this way. Men have been conditioned that women serve them in every level. A lot of men see the woman as the one that takes care of their life. And then they see other women as serving their visual pleasure needs and other things. This is not respect. This is abuse. This is where the sacrificial woman is where you're expected to abandon yourself. So let's talk about what it really means when a woman is expected to give up on her dreams, goals, her identity just to support someone else's life path. Because that is what a patriarchal society expects of women. This is what religion expects of women. Because far too often, this isn't partnership. It's servitude dressed up as tradition. So here's what this belief system looks like. And this is what they call biblical marriage and biblical womanhood. And this is where religion wraps this all up in a cute little bow. And underneath, it is a rotting, disgusting mess. So let's look at him. What his day looks like. Day in the life of a man in a patriarchal marriage. He gets up, showers, throws his towel on the floor, gets dressed, eats breakfast, leaves the dirty dishes in the sink, walks out the door and goes to work. His clothes are draped over the furniture, follows his career and builds something for himself. But I want to be honest, and I've said this so many times in the podcast, and I'm going to say it until I'm blue in the face because women aren't getting it. He would do all of this whether he was married or not. He'd go to college, he'd launch a career, he'd pay bills, he'd live his life. Marriage didn't ask him to give up anything. It didn't ask him to change. He does what he would normally do. He's doing nothing for you. I'm sorry, he's not. This is, none of that is about you. He said, oh, I provide. Well, you don't really, because you would have a house anyway. You would have a car anyway. You pay a little bit extra because someone else eats some food. But really, honestly, it's piddly squat. But let's see what you're expected to do in this whole dynamic. You're expected to give up everything and carry everything. You have to give up on going to college and having a career. But even if you do go to college and have a career, you have to do that and everything else. You pick up after him. You cook every meal. You wash all the dishes. You plan the groceries. You change the diapers. You clean up the spills. You bathe the kids. You have to be pregnant for 9 months. You have to give birth to the baby. You have to take off of work for that. You sweep. You mop. You dust. You vacuum. You scrub toilets. You sort, wash, dry, and fold, put away laundry for the entire house. You make the beds, you change the sheets, you organize the closets, you decorate for every holiday, you clean out the fridge, you plan the birthday parties, you remember every appointment, doctor, dentist, orthodontist, therapist. You're the one who signs all the school forms, packs the lunches, buys the birthday gifts for class parties. You volunteer for PTA events. You remember Spirit Week, Field Day, book fairs, picture days. You take the kids to dance lessons, soccer practice, swim class, music recitals. You help with homework. You mediate fights. You manage meltdowns. You manage the tantrums. You remember to buy new shoes before they outgrow the old ones. You soothe the anxiety. You answer the questions and you nurture their souls. You are the emotional thermostat of the home. When your child cries at night, they call for you. When they're sick, they want you. When they're heartbroken, confused, or scared, it's you who shows up. You carry the mental load. You notice what needs to be done. You anticipate needs before they happen. You carry the weight of remembering, planning, and organizing. Let's not forget, you carried the children. 9 months of pregnancy, morning sickness, exhaustion, your body changed. You gave birth. Maybe it was through surgery. Maybe there was trauma. Maybe there were complications. You breastfed or bottle fed. You woke up all night. Your body changed. Your identity shifted. And yet you were expected to bounce back like nothing happened, and you better look pretty after. Did I get it all? That's not okay. In the midst of all of this, you're supposed to stay emotionally stable. Keep everyone else emotionally regulated, manage everything, and somehow stay thin, pleasant, and grateful for it all. You're expected to give up on your career if needed, your passions, your peace, and act like it's a privilege. And if you speak up about it, you're ungrateful, you're selfish, you're failing at being a wife, you're failing at being a mother. Let's get real. None of this is a partnership. This is servitude and slavery. Full stop. This is a system that expects a woman to disappear so a man can flourish. And you know what the men keep bringing up? Where did the 1950s go? Well, let me remind you that housewives in the 1950s were so overwhelmed, doctors were prescribing amphetamines. Yes, they called up mommy's little helper to keep the woman upright because they were doing everything. Depression soared. Anxiety soared. Women were collapsing under the weight of doing it all without support, without rest, and without help. No human being, no matter how loving or strong, can thrive in that kind of conditions. And if you came from a high-demand religion, this gets more dangerous. You're told he presides over you. He's the head of the household, and submission is your spiritual duty. But let's be clear. Sacrificing your purpose to support his is not partnership. It's erasure. Did you hear that? It is erasure. You are being erased. You matter. Your voice matters. Your dreams matter. You are not put on this earth to be someone's unpaid, unthanked maid. You are not here to revolve around his life. You are here to live. You are here to create. You are here to feel joy, to build something of your own. And any love that demands your disappearance is not love at all. So we're going to end this section here. I want you, if this is resonating with you, if you are experiencing these things, I want you to tune in next week because we are going to continue this discussion about red flags in relationships. And next week, we're going to talk about what you can do about this. So I really hope that this is starting to open up your eyes to the reality of what women face in our society. And unfortunately, in relationships generally with men, women find themselves in roles of servitude and they find themselves being ignored, gaslit, and men just expecting the women to sit down, shut up, do what they expect, and not ask for anything. And I want to just say that my heart goes out to you. I have seen this all too often with women who are unhappy. And a lot of times they live on autopilot and they don't even realize that life can be better. And the thing is, they say, how do I find a decent man? How do I find it? And you know what? When we start demanding better, men are going to have to step up. And that's where it is. When we talk about rape culture, when we talk about this culture of demanding everything out of women and all the things that are happening. We talk about men sexualizing women and catcalling and all the stuff that goes on. It's not our responsibility to manage them, but it is our responsibility to demand the respect. Because when women stop serving men in all aspects, men all of a sudden have to step up. If men that catcalled women, if there were no women that were willing to be in relationships with them, if women were like, listen, if you want to go out checking out every woman on the street and treating women like they are objects for your visual pleasure, ain't no woman going to touch you with a 10-foot pole. When we start acting like that, it's going to motivate men to be like, you either step it up and like get right with yourself or you end up alone. And guess what? When we shut down the entire society of men being able to pay women to pleasure them, when we don't do that anymore, when we create a life for ourselves, when we get real that we are not items to be purchased, all of a sudden men are going to have to step it up because they are going to actually have to treat a woman with dignity and respect to get anything. Otherwise, you're going to be doing it yourself. And when that happens, there's going to be enough motivation to change. But until it does, they're not going to. They don't have to. Because there's a lot of women out there that make it real easy for these kind of men to survive. But what I want to tell you is, you aren't one of them. You are not one of them. And that is why when you step up and say, I am not one of them. And when men start seeing that women are standing up and going, nah. You want to have your, quote, privacy? Sure, I'll give you privacy. This relationship is done. And when you find enough strength and confidence in yourself that you don't need a man, you can live your own career, live your own life, do your own thing. Men are starting to, notice this. They're starting to notice that women aren't putting up with us anymore. And you know what? The more that we do it, the more that we turn around and call them out when they catcall us and we make it real uncomfortable, that's when things change. We aren't responsible for it, but we were born into a patriarchal society. But the only way we're going to change it is if we don't allow it. And I want you to see and listen to these messages and what I'm sharing with you. I want you to see this toxicity and I want you to say, I am not willing to accept this in my life. And the reality is, if you are in a relationship, if it were me right now at my age, if I were in a relationship, my husband is absolutely a beautiful soul. We are high school sweethearts and our relationship is beautiful. But if it was not, if he showed these types of red flags, I wouldn't stay. I would create my own life. And you know what? I wouldn't be out looking for another man either. It would be, I have my own life within myself. I will have friends. I will have things to do. I will have a career. I will have my own house. I will have my own things. And if there is someone that comes into my life that brings joy and happiness and connection and depth, and this person is my best friend, and they just feel like a soulmate to me, great. But if that never happens, I'm also okay. And that's where every woman needs to be. And that's where I want you to be. So that you can live your best life. And let these men go live a lonely life somewhere, because no women want them. We need to be healthy within ourselves and know that we deserve better than this crap. And men are going to have to do the work. You're going to have to go to therapy. He's going to have to do something. We're not just going to sit there and say, oh, drown your emotions away in alcohol. Great idea. You know, we're not doing that anymore. We're not putting up with that anymore. You throw your clothes on the floor and your towels on the floor and just think that you have a mommy that's going to clean up after you. No, we expect grown adult men who can take care of themselves. And when we start raising the bar, men are going to have to meet it or they end up alone. And you're going to have to get real with yourself, because you deserve more and you need to see that you do. And we're going to talk about how you get there in the next one. So do not miss the next episode. We're going to go into emotionally immature partners, narcissistic partners. And then we're going to end with how do we get where we want to be. So I hope to see you in the next one. I know I can rant forever, but I'm really passionate about this for women. Women are the ones that I offer the most help for. And I know this was a long episode, but it's really important because we need to change the narrative. And it's going to have to start with us, because if we keep accepting this crappy behavior, it isn't going to change. We're not responsible for it, but we also don't have to accept it. So I love all of you. I am so grateful for you for being here with me, and I hope to see you in the next episode.